You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. Okay, we've got the scripture reading, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Okay. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for the blessing of being here this morning. We thank you for the joy of that fills our hearts as we see your handiwork outside in the blue sky, hear the birds. We're just marveling how mighty you are. You spoke it, and it came into existence. We thank you, Father, for the word and its effect in our life. We might take it to our heart. And for out of the heart come forth the issues of life. May we be serious about that and protect our heart, guard ourselves from the evil one. We pray, Father, that each heart need be met this morning as we look through this armor that you've told us to put on. May we be obedient to putting it on, never taking it off. And this we pray, Father, as your Spirit takes the things of Christ and makes them real to us, we might honor you and glorify him who loved us and gave his life for us. We pray in his name. Amen. Okay, we're going to pick up number 5, our fifth piece of armor that we need to put on. And we're going to go back to verse 10 again, like we did last week. Last week we went back to verse 10 and we looked at that word mighty. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In His might. Can't do it in your own. You have to do it in His might. And that word might, we learned last week, has this idea of physical strength. And we talked about, you know, picture an arm. Picture an arm has a hammer. That arm has muscles and that arm has strength. That is physical strength that comes down. But it can't be your physical strength, but it is the strength that comes from God giving you the power. Giving you the power to war in this warfare. To stand in this warfare, and you need it. But today I want to look at that word finally. Look at verse 10. It says, finally, finally. Oh, I got a little handout because I want you to read along with me. Let me hand this over here. Just take one, pass it back. I might have given the bigger take one, pass it back. I want you to read what Charles Welch has to say about this finally. With me, you finally get through Ephesians, and you get to the end of Ephesians, and you begin to think, finally. Whew. You ever been on a trip with kids, and you go, finally, you know, we're home. But, you know, that's not the impact of this. That's not the importance of this. I think the word finally means, wow, look at all the things that we've done. Look at what we've been through. Okay? Everybody's got a copy. Now let's look and see what Mr. Welch has to say. Finally. You can read along with me. At length, this wondrous epistle nears its close. In height, depth, length, and breadth, it stands without a peer in the whole range of inspired Scripture. Readers may have sensed that our conception of truth makes this epistle to us something akin to what the epistle to the Galatians was to Luther. It has given us a liberty beyond the dreams of man. It reveals a Christ raised far above all, who fills all in all, who ascended and descended that he might fill all things, whose love surpasses knowledge, whose riches are unsearchable. It has given us a sacred trust, a good deposit to guard, a unity to keep. It has brought the blessedness into every department of life. It takes us back before the overthrow of the world and on to the ages yet to come. Its grace abounds. What then shall constitute the finally of the apostle? Isn't that amazing? You read that and your mind just goes back to all of those things in Ephesians that he's talking about. the things that pertain to Christ, the things that are accomplished by Christ in our life, and the things that pertain to us in the ages to come. Amazing. And he comes to verse 10 of chapter 6. Finally, you're in a warfare. You're in a warfare. You better pay attention to it. You better be aware of it. You better be prepared for it. You're in a warfare. And that's what the next person says. Joseph Chambers has a website, Paul Creek Ministries is what it's called. And he says, there's a war against God. Read with me as I read out loud. The clouds of war are gathering, he says, all over our world. But it's not just a war of guns and missiles. It is war against God, the Creator Himself. From entertainment to high courts of America, the blasphemous world is staging a war against God. The atheist, liberals, and apostate Christians all want a life without restraints and without the fear of judgment for sin. The words Merry Christmas must become Happy Holiday. The Ten Commandments must be out of public sight. The preachers must remain behind closed sanctuary doors. And everything else must be stripped of morals. If God won't die, then at least the world wants his mouth shut. Turn on the news, and even conservative Fox News is stripped of morals. One of their stars, Bill O'Reilly, comes unglued if someone declares they believe in the Bible as a standard of living. When Bible-believing people are routinely criticized or treated as morons, war is being waged against God, not individuals. While I deplore the God-hating organizations like the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, People for the American Way, National Organization of Women, National Education Association, and their many counterparts, the biggest problem is this war is liberal. The biggest problem in this war is liberal and apostate Christianity. Let's try to understand both the secular and the religious facts about this war against God. Well, that's what Mr. Chambers goes on to talk about in that article that he's written. It's Paul Creek Ministries. There is a war. There's a war going on. And it's a war right here in the church. And that's what he pointed out. A liberal and apostate Christians. Liberal and apostate Christians. You remember in Galatians, Paul asked them, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You could make that today. O foolish Americans. O foolish Americans, who has bewitched you? All that you know to be true, and what have you done? You've turned your back on it. You've turned your back on it. You've forgotten the main pin. You've forgotten the moorings of what our country was established and how it was set up. We call that which is bad, good. A patriot today is not someone who stands up for his country, but someone who stands against his country and against the president and against the army and the military. A patriot today is someone who calls America bad. He sees only the evil, like our enemies, and not the good. And so they call evil good. And what do they call good? Call it evil. Call it intolerant, biased, bigot. It's amazing, isn't it? It's enough to blow your mind once you stop and you think about it. All right, now everybody take a deep breath. Okay, let's get this going. He says, finally, brethren, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Let's go back and look at that again in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Just scoot back to the left with me a couple of pages. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is a corollary verse. Verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. See that word mighty? By who? By God. Through God. His strength. His truth. His righteousness. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Where are those strongholds? Well, they're in verse 5. They're in your imaginations. Casting down imaginations. That's your reasoning. That's that thought with we encounter in our public schools today regarding Where did man come from? He just climbed right out of the primordial soup. Just had a molecule form itself, and the lightning hit it, and all of a sudden we started getting DNA and began to grow and grow and grow until we got somebody in the form of a fish, and then an amphibian, a reptile, and apes and men. But what an imagination it takes to even come close to believing that. But that's a casting down imaginations, and then every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing them into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Come on back to Ephesians. There is a warfare going on. It's not against flesh and blood. And even though we walk in the flesh, we don't war in the flesh. Because you know what? Our armor is not in the flesh. Our armor is not made for warring against flesh. If you stop and look at it, it's got an element of it that seems to be practical and literal. Verse 14 talks about having your loins girded, like putting a belt on. But it's the truth that's really the important part of it. It's the characteristic of that armor that you put on. It's not the belt itself, but it's the truth of God that we need. Well, what is that truth? Well, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Later on in John, he said, "Thy word is truth." In an earlier part, he said, "You shall know the truth, and what? The truth shall make you free." Thy word is truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is what it's this. It's what I have right here in my hand. It's what God says. That's what the truth is. Not what man teaches or what man proposes. Man, professing himself wise, has become what? A fool. He's foolish. Doesn't understand the truth. Look at the next piece, the breastplate of righteousness. That righteousness is just doing the right thing. The only way you can know how to do the right thing is to follow Ted Turner and his 10 suggestions. Wrong. It's to follow what thus saith the Lord. That's the only way you'll know it. God says in our Sunday school lesson this morning that a person who's not given to wrath is a man who's under control. That if he's given to wrath, that works unrighteousness. Wrath isn't a characteristic of the Spirit. Peace is. And that's our next one. Look at verse 15. Let your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace is the cessation of any hostility. That's true peace. And the gospel of peace is the proclamation of that hostility is over. That God's no longer mad at you. God's not angry with you. God's already paid the sin debt through Christ. Bought at the cross. Then the next one, verse 16, and above all, take the shield of faith with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. These fiery darts are the doubts that Satan puts in our mind, that he shoots at us, and if he can gain a stronghold, he will. If he can injure us and hurt us, he will. Now, a lot of injuries we can encounter. You know, you can break a leg and come back and play again. You can blow an ACL out and come back and play again. There's a lot of things that can happen to you, and you can still come back and play. But we saw a football game last year. OU was playing, I think, Texas Tech, and our quarterback, Sam Bradford, the quarterback at the University of Oklahoma, got crushed under trying to make a tackle. And I remember Chris started calling him Bam. He was Bam because he got bammed. And you'd see him sitting on the bench, and he was in a daze. Why? Because his head got hit. He had a helmet on, but it wasn't enough of a helmet to protect him. It wasn't enough of a helmet to protect him. Things that happen to our brain, things that happen to our head, often are devastating. Often are devastating, and that's why helmets save lives. Helmets do save lives. Seatbelts save lives. That's why, you know, there's laws that you put seatbelts on, you put helmets on, and you wear them. Florida passed a law to wear a helmet, then they unpassed it. But you had to have a $10,000 insurance policy before you could, if you're over 21, if you had that insurance policy, then you didn't have to wear a helmet. Under 21, you had to wear a helmet. Helmets save lives. They're important things. Imagine, and that's because the brain is inside the helmet. The brain is where all this activity and all this the issues of life come from. Now, we say the heart, and our understanding of the heart is probably a commingling of the brain and our compassion and the emotions and things like that. But really, it's not the heart as we understand the heart, even though the heart is a vital instrument in the body. To the Jew, the mind was a part of that heart thing. But the mind was separated in this idea of being just laws. And sometimes you can exercise a law and not really follow the spirit that is behind that law. And so they talked about the heart. And they talk about the bowels. And they talk about this other part of you that says, you know, that just doesn't feel right. I don't think that's the right way to do that. Even though your mind may say it does. But to us, the mind is kind of a commingling of that. We even get it in our advertisement. If it feels good, what? Yeah, do it. Well, that's in the mind. Yeah, that's not a... But, okay. But the idea is that the brain is very important. You got that? The brain is very important. And it's got to be covered. That's this word helmet means to cover. Parakephala. It's two words. Para, you remember the word we used to talk about? Parapateo, to walk all over. Pateo, walk. Para means all over or through or about. Well, this is about. This is about. And kephale is head. About the head. It's to cover the head. It's to protect the head. But it's not the helmet that's important, even though the helmet is very important. It's the salvation. It's the helmet of salvation. God has given us salvation. No other one can do that. It's the first thing to remember. Man can't save. In fact, let's go over to Psalms 49. Man can't save himself. It's amazing in this war as you turn your pages. A little boy asks his mother, well, who's going to win the war, God or the devil? And she says, oh, honey, God's already won the war. He says, well, then why does the devil keep fighting? She said, because he doesn't believe it. You've got to believe it. You got to know. We've read the book from the beginning to the end. We know in the end who wins. We know that he's already a defeated enemy. But games aren't over just because you're ahead. You know, you can be up 45-3 and there's 4 or 5 minutes left or half a quarter or a whole quarter. And sometimes coaches leave their first team in. Not smart. First team get hurt. Quarterback go down. Get him out. You hear the announcers say that all the time, right? And it's happened. And you go, why did he have him in there? Well, the war's still going on. Devil doesn't know the game's over, even though, you know, there's no chance in hell for him to win. Not at all. Even though they think they're going to be the victors. Christ has already proclaimed the victory. In 49, we see this idea that God has given us that in salvation. But we see it first, by looking at a comparison of what man thinks. Verse 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother. Now, this isn't about wealth. Stop a minute. This passage is not about wealth. This passage is about a heart issue. That's what this passage is dealing with. So when he starts talking about wealth here, don't think that he's talking really about wealth. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious and it ceases forever. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. God's the only one that can save. Man cannot save, no matter how... That's what Peter wrote, remember? We haven't been redeemed by incorruptible things like what? Silver and gold. No, but by the precious blood of Christ. Man can't redeem himself. There's not one... Even though man has tried and tried and tried, and still today he tries. He starts a new religion. What is the basis for it? Is it God? No. It's what can you do in order to gain heaven? And you can't do a thing to gain heaven. You can't buy it. You can't steal it. You can't inherit it. You can't earn it. By grace, he says in Ephesians, by grace do we receive it. And that's the salvation that God's given us. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, not of riches. not a family, not a political party, not of the right side of the tracks, not of anything that man could boast of, not of anything that he does. It's the gift of God. It's a free gift. We need to always remember that. Once done, it's done. The old man once said that a man who is born once will die twice. And the man who's born twice dies once. We know that. We don't look in the graves of these people who proclaim to think they found a way. We look in an empty tomb. And we're assured of that. Look at verse 10. We see that wise men die. Likewise, the fool and the stupid or brutish. The brutish or the stupid person perishes and leaves their wealth to others. Now, their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. I like that. McCammon land. Doesn't even have a good ring to it, does it? Nah. Verse 13. Verse 12. Nevertheless, man being in honor, what does that mean? Well, he's made higher than the animals. Man being in honor, made by God, abides not. He's like the beast in regard to that. All perish. This, their way is their folly. Yet, their sons, their daughters, their brothers, their sisters, their grandchildren, their posterity approve their sayings. Think about that. Seen them die. Seen them die and not take a penny with them. And yet they go on believing the same old folly. It's foolishness. Verse 14, like sheep, they're laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. The worms. And the upright, that's who's left, shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. So it's not just wealth and it's not just beauty. It all goes. Verse 15, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Selah. So be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee. When thou dost well to thyself, he shall go to the generation of his fathers, and they shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understands not is like the beast that perish. Do you understand? Do you hear but don't do? Are you one of the heedless instead of he who heeds? Take heed, God says. Take heed. Go over to Psalm 73. This idea of seeing him. Being redeemed by him. Verse 23. Nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. Thou hast held me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. What an amazing thought. That's salvation. Jesus said, he who believes in him who sent me shall not die, but have everlasting life. Only God can do that. Not only can God do that, God can do the most awfulest thing. Allow a man or a woman to make that awful decision of go to hell. But he's made us free beings. He's given us free will. He's given us the way. He's given us the truth. He's given us the life. Turn with me to Luke chapter 16. When the Lord was here on this earth, he talked about this. There was a parable. Not a parable. Doesn't say it was a parable. Shouldn't say it was a parable. I take it back. Strike that. It's not a parable. It's a story about a rich man and a poor man. A rich man and a poor man named Lazarus. Verse 19. Jesus said there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs of which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he, the rich man, lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. It's real. It does exist. There is a hell. There are people that are going to populate that hell. In fact, there's more of them than they're going to populate heaven, because straight and narrow is the gate that leadeth into everlasting life. But broad is the way to damnation. Verse 25, Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they who would pass from here to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from there. And then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they'll repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. An amazing story, isn't it? It's real. God's given us salvation. Devil wants to... He's got two things in life he wants to do. He wants to keep those from believing who don't believe, and he wants to keep those who believe in a state of doubt and flux. Always questioning, always considering their own plight instead of God's handiwork in their life. The helmet is a protective gear. It does protect us. It's the helmet of salvation. It reminds us every day that it's not anything that we can do, but God has done it because He so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son. It was bought for each of us, and Christ was the payment. Let's pray. Father, we thank You as You teach us about this armor that we're to put on. We're to remember that the truth is the first piece of the equipment. We're to remember, Father, to gird up the loins of our mind with Your truth, even though the devil, in his wily ways, wants to get us to not believe it, to consider it incomplete, imperfect, impotent. But You are omnipotent. May we never forget, Father. And this we pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.